This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now on Joy 94.9, this is The Glow Show with your host, Victoria Police LGBTI Liaison Officer Gabrielle Tyack, Joy's own Will Lanting, with a range of Victoria Police staff and Joy volunteers coming together to inform and support our diverse LGBTI communities. Here is The Glow Show on Joy.
Good evening. You are on The Glow Show, Joy 94.9. I'm Will and joined by my or our favourite crime fighter, Gabby. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy but sad at the same time.
Why are you sad?
I'm happy and excited because we've got a really good guest in. I'm sad because it's our last show for 4 months, I think it is, until we're back in December.
We will be back. I know. They want us back. Everyone wants us back.
Well, you're getting over a cold. I'm getting a cold. We need a break.
I do. And I'm off to Europe as well. So looking forward to getting into some warm weather and going to stop in Doha. I'm going to stop in Doha on the way home. So going to soak up some 47 degree heat and get out of this cold. And
Too hot.
But tonight, we have a really special guest, one of my favourite commissioners, but all my commissioners are favourites.
It's Assistant Commissioner Luke Cornelius.
Luke, welcome to The Glow Show.
Yeah, good evening, Will, and good evening to your listeners. And hi, Gabby.
Hi again. So last time we had you in, you were in charge of the VARIOC area, which is the Victorian Equal Opportunity Human Rights Commission, the report that Victoria Police teamed up with them to do. But you've got a new position, but we'll talk about that a bit later. Because that's some exciting news.
That is very exciting news.
But I think we need to get back to talking about VARIOC.
It is important. And I really take my hat off to the police for doing this report. Obviously, if anyone knows what the VARIOC report is, it's basically a survey that was done within the Victorian Police. I would call it a health check, if that might be the way to put it, to see where internally they stand, where it comes to certain issues, and obviously the LGBTI community is an issue. So, Luke, you're able to talk a little bit more about some of the results and findings of this report, which was very important.
Yeah, sure, Will. There are actually two reports we can talk about.
Yeah.
One was the ongoing work that we had with VARIOC, which will culminate with their publication of their final report into their work with us, and that's being published on the 21st of August of this year, so just on a month away. And, of course, there was also a very specific report which was focused on the lived experience of our LGBTI officers within Victoria Police. And both reports, in fact, were, with respect, Will, a hell of a lot more than just a health check.
Okay.
In a very real sense, it's been a reality check for us in relation to how policing has traditionally, and up to the date of those reviews, have treated both women and LGBTI employees within policing. And the reality check for us was absolutely a wake-up call in terms of understanding the lived experience of both females, women within our organisation, and also, in particular, LGBTI employees within policing. And the awful truths that were disclosed to us in terms of the lived experience, which was drawn not just from the survey, confidential survey of all of our staff, but also from the stories that were shared with us very courageously by both women and LGBTI employees who shared their stories with us of many years of mistreatment, discrimination, and indeed, in some cases, appalling conduct and treatment at the hands of their colleagues. And so for us, health check, a small part of it, but absolutely a reality check, absolutely a call to action. And our focus over the last 3 years has been very much on challenging ourselves about what can we do as an organisation to treat all of our employees, irrespective of sexual orientation or gender, with dignity and respect, and move to being an organisation which places equality at the heart of everything we do.
Now, that's excellent because, and one of the things I like about this is that you're not scared to actually perform this reality check, or what do we want to call it, health check, reality check. I think every organisation should do that. When it came out, what I got from a lot of people was like, oh, you know, same old problems with the police, you know, they're always like this, they've always been like this, there's nothing different. And I went, no, look, put the brakes on a little bit. And I went and put it into a little bit of perspective for them. And I said, I read a lot of the results of the report, and I work for a major airline, which is considered to be extremely LGBTI friendly and accepting. But when I was reading the report coming from the departments that I'm involved in, I read exactly the same experiences. And I just sort of turned around and said, this is reality in the greater world. And the fact that the Victorian Police are being on the front foot and doing this report and putting their hand up to the community and saying, this is what we have done and this is what we have found and this is what we are doing about it. And that's where I really like to take my hats off to you all. And that is the truth. There's a lot of synergy across the community, whether it's police or whether it's other organisations.
Yeah, well, thanks for those observations. I've had cause over the last 3 years to reflect on my policing career and reflect with my colleagues their policing career as well. Actually, tomorrow I celebrate 30 years in policing. But
congratulations.
That's another story. But I guess in reflecting over my lived experience of policing over 30 years, one thing that I would really call out in terms of our response to this review and our work with VEROC over the last 3.5 years has been that instead of us as policing ripping the band-aid off and doing the immediate leap to action and, you know, rush around doing stuff, we've actually taken the time over the last 3.5 years to learn, listen, reflect and consider what do we need to do to support the very deep cultural change that's required to make a very real difference in policing. And in my 30 years of experience in policing, I have to say, that is the biggest difference in terms of our approach with this piece of work. So we've spent 3.5 years challenging ourselves and thinking about what we need to change in ourselves and in our organisation, in our structures, our policies and our practice. But also we're committing to another 2-3 years of dedicated work in this space following the publication of the final report in August. So this is a change process which isn't being done in 5 minutes. We're committing to this being a 5-6 year piece of work, and on top of that are probably another 3 years of embedding it. And so although I've moved on from that role into the Northwest, Commander Lisa Hardiman is now taking on that role as the Acting Assistant Commissioner, and this is a piece of work that will continue to be led by an Assistant Commissioner over the next 2-3 years. And that is very much a reflection of the significance that Victoria Police continues to place on this piece of work.
You're on The Glow Show, Joy 94.9 with Gabby and Will, and we have Assistant Commissioner Luke Cornelius in the studio tonight. We've just been talking about the VEROC report, some of the results and the challenges that the Victorian Police face with this. Now, Luke, you just mentioned before you've been promoted to Assistant Commissioner of Northwest Metro, is that correct? Would it be a promotion or...?
Look, I regard any opportunity to work in ops as a promotion, if you like.
Yeah.
You can't put on the blue shirt and not be passionate about working directly with the community to help communities be safer and more respectful. And I'm actually the longest serving Assistant Commissioner in Victoria Police. So for me, it's not a change in level, but it's a move to a new role. And for me, coming into Northwest Metro, there's a real opportunity to work with the community to make the community safer through the work of my people. And I'm very glad to have Gabby now on my squad.
Excellent.
But
Luke is my new boss.
the other piece for me is there's a real opportunity for me through Northwest with my people to put in practice all of the things that I have been focusing on and espousing and seeking to provide leadership on over the last 3.5 years.
So what's some of the challenges that you see coming into the Northwest region that's stand out that we need to focus on and talk about?
Look, I think the biggest piece is that, and again, this is a reflection of the work I've been doing over the last 3.5 years, recognising that gender inequality lies at the heart of violence against women, and that is the primary driver of violence against women and children in their homes and on our streets. I think that's the key insight that has come to me from the work that I've been doing in the past 3.5 years. So what does that look like from a policing perspective? If through our work on addressing gender inequality and discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation within our organisation, if as a result of that work we actually change the thinking and attitudes of all of our members in relation to putting themselves in the shoes of victims of sexualised violence and discrimination, then that will necessarily improve our support for the women and children in our community who most need it. And so what we're looking for in having done this work with Verioc is not only to get, if you like, our own backyard in order, but it's absolutely about fitting us to better serve the community, and indeed fitting us to better serve the women and children who are at most risk of the most harmful forms of abuse and of violence in our community. And that is just a critical piece for us.
It's highlighting how many changes that we're undergoing in Victoria Police. And I was in a forum yesterday about LGBTI perpetrators of family violence. And we've switched the way we look at family violence in as much as we are trying to assist perpetrators and get them into assistance and help and try to stop the cycle of violence. And looking at gender inequality is a big part of that. So if we, instead of just looking at victims of family violence and getting them the help they need, which we still have to do, it's the perpetrators that we're focusing on just as much now to try to prevent that violence from continuing.
No, fascinating stuff. You're on the Glow Show, Joy 94.9. We have Assistant Commissioner Luke Cornelius in the studio tonight. So stay tuned for some more. You're on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Glow Show on Joy. Back soon.
Your community is our business.
Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. This is the Glow Show on Joy.
We're back on the Glow Show, final episode for this grid.
For this grid, yeah, but we'll be back, so don't fear.
And we're ending with a bang.
We are.
We've got Assistant Commissioner Luke Cornelius, and we've been talking about the Verioc report and some of the findings of that and how we're changing how we police and how we look after each other in the organisation. We've been talking about Luke in his new role as the Assistant Commissioner of Northwest Metro, which is fantastic, my new boss. And there's a whole bunch of other things we really want to have a chat with you about. For drug driving, for one thing, is a massive focus at the moment. And I know, Will, you were really blown away when Beck Lawther from our Highway Patrol Office was talking to us a while back.
Yeah, I'm not too sure of the exact statistics, but it was very perplexing at the time and very frightening. And she said that for every one drunk driver or alcohol inflicted driver she charged four drug drivers. And if I was to ever guess, I thought it would have been the other way around, but it was a really frightening realization of how big the problem is. I'm not too sure if you know the statistics is exactly what they are now.
And that would just be her experience.
That was her experience. Yeah. And we don't see on the television, you know, we see a lot of don't drink drive and so on and so forth, but we don't see as much drug driving. So I'd say this is, correct me if I'm wrong, is this a new challenge, or is, and obviously this is a challenge that you all have to deal with now?
Yeah, well, this is a huge challenge, not only for police, but for the whole community.
Yeah.
And this is a piece where the numbers are really scaring us. So, for example, when I was talking to our road policing inspector the other day and working through our lives lost and the reasons that lie behind it, we've reached a point now where just under one in every 10 drivers that we test at random roadside drug testing sites, just under one in 10 drivers have drugs in their system.
Wow.
And so how many
alcohol are positive for every ones you test?
Well, we're now finding, so of course speed is the biggest factor in serious injuries and road deaths. And then it's typically been alcohol has been the other big factor. But we're now getting to a point where drug-affected driving will overtake alcohol, both in terms of detections, but also in terms of finding drugs in people's system where they've been involved in a serious injury collision or indeed a victim of a fatal road incident.
Now, why or what is your feeling of why this has evolved to this situation and become such a problem?
This is absolutely about community attitude and driver behaviour. If I reflect on our journey with the community in relation to wearing seatbelts or indeed alcohol-affected driving, it took us 30 years.
Yep.
30 years to get to a point where the community widely accepted that drink driving was socially unacceptable and that if you've had a drink, you should not hop behind the wheel. We cannot afford to spend another 30 years for the community to come to the same realisation in relation to drug-affected driving. Can you imagine how many lives will be lost if it takes us 30 years to fix this? And the only way ultimately we can fix this is not just through increased enforcement, but it's absolutely about the community taking ownership of their responsibility that if you do take drugs, and I won't get into the rights or wrongs of that, but if you do take drugs, don't get behind the wheel. Because you're the last, if you're on drugs, you're the last person on earth who's in a position to assess whether you're capable of driving. If you can't think about yourself, absolutely think about your family and think about other road users. Because what that stat means is that if you're driving down the Monash or the Western Highway or EastLink or wherever, just think, one in every 10 of the vehicles you see on that road is being driven by someone who's under the influence of drugs.
Drug-affected.
That is horrifying.
It is horrifying. It's very frightening.
And with each life lost, there's a whole family affected.
Yeah.
A whole multitude of people are affected by that life lost. And we're finding that the lives lost this year is hugely increased on last year. We were celebrating last year because it was one of the lowest road tolls and lives lost we had, and it's increased so much. So we do have to take responsibility. Each person take their own responsibility. If you're getting behind a wheel, make sure you haven't had any drugs, and not just recently, in the last day or so, because they can affect you.
And the other thing too is that when an accident happens and you have someone killed, behind that there's usually a lot more people that are injured for life, and they carry the scars for life, and their family carry the scars for life. And also on the Glow Show, you know, we don't want to sit here and preach to you what you should and shouldn't do, but what we do encourage you to do is talk about it with your family and your friends. And I think when it comes to drug issues, you know, look out for your mates, talk about it with your mates, and, you know, really got each other's back, you know. And I think that's the important thing to do, is to talk about it.
And if you're a passenger,
yeah,
take control of the situation. Don't choose to get into a car that's being driven by someone who you think's on drugs, because your life isn't worth it.
No, exactly.
You're listening to The Glow Show with Will and Gabby, and we're talking with Assistant Commissioner Luke Cornelius about lives lost on the road. A lot of it's due to use of drugs, but there's also a big issue in relation to drug use in general, not just on the roads.
Yeah, look, we know from not only our own police activities, and of course drug users and drug dealers don't come to us and tell us that they're doing that, because of course it's illegal. So our detection of drug use in the community by and large is down to the work that we do. The other piece is the roadside drug testing, but also wastewater analysis. We actually have people who look at the level of drugs that go into our sewage through wastewater, and that tells us that drug use is prevalent right across our community, whether it's in our cities or in rural Victoria. And again, this comes down to community attitude, and it comes down to, I think, the community appreciating the very real harms that flow from drug use, whether it's so-called soft drugs, cannabis, through to, of course, the what you, if you might characterise as being the harder forms of drugs. But we see on our streets, in family homes, right across our community, the impact of that level of prevalence of drug use. And while, of course, we have a job to do in terms of keeping the community safe and keeping the community safe from the impacts of others who use drugs, the key piece is ultimately, I think it comes down to the community taking ownership of this issue.
Now, Luke, before we let you go tonight, there's just something else I'd like to just quickly discuss, probably more for a reassurance to my community than anything else. And we just went through, obviously, we all remember last year the marriage equality debate, which was quite stressful for my community and even myself at the time. Now we're seeing in the political spectrum, we're now seeing the debate of religious freedoms. It's making the news. And one of the things that I felt and experienced during the marriage equality debate was that it felt the other people on the other side, it felt like it gave them the license to be discriminative and to be nasty and horrible. And it was very hurtful at the time. And now we're looking at seeing this happening again with the religious
freedoms
debates, which are now going to be running through our parliament again. How do you feel about this situation at the moment?
Well, look, of course, as with any debate, we would hope that it's conducted respectfully, and with consideration for everyone who's engaged in the debate. But as was the case with the marriage equality debate, from a Victoria Police perspective, we were very concerned about the impact that would have, not only on the LGBTI community, but on the community more generally. And it is our experience when these sorts of debates are active in our community that we do see a rise in vilification. We do see a rise in hate speech. We do see a rise in a lack of respect. So within the context of the religious freedom piece, of course there's a risk that we might find in particular the LGBTI community
being
the target of that sort of hate speech, that sort of vilification. And so, of course, our call to the community at large is be respectful. Treat one another with the dignity and respect that we all ought to be afforded, because we're all human beings. But on top of that, I want to be very clear that Victoria Police is absolutely committed to supporting our community, and in particular supporting the LGBTI community, where its members are the subject of vilification and hate speech. And so we do have very particular laws in our state which do allow us to hold people to account for vilification and hate speech. And so we in Victoria Police, of course, are very keen to hear about those incidents, and members of the LGBTI community should absolutely feel confident that if they are the subject of that hate speech, they have the opportunity to reach out to the Victoria Police, particularly if it involves an immediate threat to your safety, call 000. Otherwise, of course, reach out to a GLO, one of our liaison officers. Or the other piece is go into your local police station and flag it. And, you know, this sort of hate speech and vilification, it's what we call a crime against the person.
Yep.
And so the key piece there is we're very keen to hear from people directly if they're on the receiving end of that sort of behaviour.
Thanks, sir. And I know we're running out of time, but the last point you wanted to make was about the new police assistance line and online reporting.
Yeah, so you might have seen the ads. If you need police without the lights and sirens, use the police assistance line or use the online reporting piece. I just want to stress that if you do need a police attendance, if you do need the lights and sirens
for your
piece,
safety,
for your safety or the safety of others, absolutely call 000. That needs to be your first port of call. But if you need police assistance in relation to, if you like, more routine matters, or matters which won't have require the immediate attendance of police, then we have both the police assistance line, which is 131 444, or we also have the online reporting tool, which is available on our website. And these are for people to come to us and report to us, if you like, theft, property damage, lost property, or general police inquiries. For example, if you've got an insurance claim and you need, within that context, to report a theft, then you'd use that facility. But I want to stress, if it's in relation to crime against the person, an assault or a robbery or an ag burg, then of course ring 000.
Traditional policing. Yep. Luke, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Sorry, before we go, can I embarrass Gabby?
Go for it.
I just want to congratulate Gabby. She's been nominated for an Excellence in Policing Award at the Australian Council of Women in Policing in September.
Gabby, good on you.
Thanks.
We must go.
Thank you, sir. Luke,
thank you so much for coming in tonight. We hope to see you again in the new grid.
Yep, pleasure.
We will be back in summer.
And thanks for listening to The Glow Show.
Thank you for all your support. Thanks to Pete Holmes, our podcaster, and Jack Tranor for our technical support. And yes, we will be taking the grid off. We'll see you in summer. You've been listening to The Glow Show on Joy 94.9.
That's it from us today. Thanks for listening to another Glow Show on Joy. Tonight's episode has just been loaded to the Joy website and our podcast feed on iTunes. So if you missed anything important, you can hear it again now. Please support the volunteers who make the Glow Show happen by subscribing to our podcast and sharing them with your friends on social media. The Glow Show is produced by Will Lansing and Gabrielle Tyack and edited weekly by me, Jason Gibbs. See you next time on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.